What happens when a Catholic deacon matches wits with a Catholic radio show host? You get a marriage made in heaven. They may not always agree, but they're always faithful. It's the Aikens with their View from the Pew on Modern Day Radio.
And welcome to this episode of View from the Pew. I'm your host, Brenda Aiken, and joining me today is the man who found out the stars at night are big and bright in Texas, the good deacon, Scott Aiken.
The stars, the bugs, the buildings. I mean, everything's big in Texas, right?
The frogs.
Montana's always the supposedly the big sky country and things are, but Texas is everything's big, including the stars, because it was pretty nice at night, and we were only able to come out at night because it was so hot during the day.
You and I had a wonderful opportunity to go with our friends and go visit our friends. And we have two friends that made the move from Vancouver into Texas. And it was just a great opportunity to get together and remind ourselves what friendship is really like. The other thing that I recognized about Texas too, no matter where you are going, it's not particularly close by. I mean, it takes a long time to get around to some of these communities.
Big distances. And then we went to Big Barbecue and I bought a big rib. I thought, oh, I'll just have a beef rib. Oh my gosh, this thing was like a brontosaurus beef rib, like you'd see from the Flintstones or something.
That's right. I'll say that not only did we get to involve ourselves with wonderful friendships and being together, we ate well, we saw amazing things. You know, for me, not only was the barbecue a highlight, we got an opportunity to go to a really incredible museum that literally just opened up a couple of months ago. It was the National Medal of Honor Museum. And boy, especially now that we have a son in the military, to see all of the sacrifices that men and women have made throughout our country's history that would receive this medal. I think for many of them, they didn't feel like it was a great honor because it was celebrating what very likely was the worst day of their lives.
Right. I think it was a beautifully tragic reflection on people's experiences of the least human capacity we have in terms of war and destruction to the greatest human capacity we have to loving someone selflessly like Christ represents. And I just couldn't be more moved by what we read across the spectrum of racial and religious perspectives. The humanity was so present there. And it was raw, and you're right. Those who received the medal, if they were alive to receive it, because there were a number that were posthumously mm-hmm. given, but if they were alive to receive it, they did not receive it with excitement at all, but with a great remembrance and stated, I think several of them stated, this is for all the people who died. That's who this medal is for. It's not for me who lived, but I'm here to tell about the wonderful, amazing people that sacrificed their life for our country and for our world.
I think for me as well, Scott, it really does begin to hit home because we have now a personal connection to that. And it was just, again, one of those beautiful things that we were able to do to experience all of that and to take all of that in. And also we did have time to take in some of the wonderful things that makes Texas, Texas. I actually got to my first rodeo. Yep, people continue to ask me, Brenda, is this your first rodeo? I couldn't say, no, this is not my first rodeo. And I reminded them, yes, it is my first rodeo. Just really, again, so much fun to celebrate. And what I loved about going to this very public rodeo is that there was a very public prayer to Jesus right at the beginning, a prayer for all of the people sitting there to watch, a prayer over the safety of the animals that are participating or in it, and most importantly, over the athletes, and that's what they call them, over the athletes, that they be safe and protected, because, boy, that was a wild time.
Yeah, I was reminded of going to a CYO basketball game or a CYO swim meet. You know, just the awareness of putting God first before we put forth what's our human capabilities, and what's our human entertainment. Putting God first, I thought was just so right, and it was beautiful to see. And we don't see that as often in the Northwest as we might see it there. And I think it was clear there was a presence of Christian community there that was a gathering of folks from all over the nation that had moved there to Texas to take part in that kind of very experience.
So all of it was, you're right, a wonderful experience for me to be able to see that for the first time and to be able to be with our friends that helped kind of explain and tell me how things were going to go. That was definitely what I needed. But travels aren't over yet. And in fact, this was just a little taste of what was coming and what is coming. You've got a big trip coming up, and that's the focus of today's show. Scott, you are going on a road pilgrimage all by yourself. After all of these years of working for the federal government, working in national park programs and tribal programs, you're going to spend some time visiting a few.
Yeah, after 30 years of working in the Department of Interior, and for those of you who may not be familiar, the National Park Service is part of the Department of Interior. I worked for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service predominantly for most of my career, but I worked in the capacities that I've been in fish and wildlife a lot with national parks. And so I've had an interest, a keen interest in seeing as many parks as I can. And you had inspiration that matched an inspiration within me that you knew was sitting there dormant. And you said to me one day, why don't you go in this time that you have onto a 2 3 week pilgrimage and just by yourself? And that's exactly what I'm doing. And I'm grateful to have been able to keep focused on that, because there's plenty of things I could say, you know what, I'm not going to do it because of X, Y, and Z. It's constantly coming back to the inspirations that we have together in our marriage that give us, I think, clarity to do things we wouldn't otherwise do. So I took this wholly as that.
And we're going to talk more about that as well and how we can find God every day in his creation. Today's guest is Father John Neppl. His new book is To Heights and Unto Depths, Letters from the Colorado Trail. He walked a pilgrimage right here in the United States, hundreds of miles, and he wrote every step of the way, an inspiration in the ways that he found God.
And that's my hope to do. And I'll share a little bit about where I'm going and what I'll be doing to couple with what we hear from Father.
So stay with us. We got a great show ahead for you on this week's View from the Pew.
The stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas, the prairie sky is wide and high. Deep in the heart of Texas.
Someone recently asked me, how do you explain that Jesus did so much for people 2,000 years ago, but doesn't now? So I asked, are you letting him make a difference in you now? God has revealed all we need for happiness and peace, but we have to let his word impact the way we think if it's going to make a difference in our lives. St. Paul tells us, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Jesus told his apostles, who he knew would face tremendous trials, do not let your hearts be troubled. He wasn't inviting them to receive peace. He was commanding them to claim it. Want God's word to make a difference in you? Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. It starts by not letting your hearts be troubled or given to fear, anxiety, negativity, and constant complaining. Fill your heart with gratitude, truth, beauty, goodness, and the things of God. Then, regardless of your circumstances, you'll see Jesus making all the difference in you. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
Time and again, we hear from grateful listeners who tell us their faith lives have been nourished by Mater Dei Radio. We hope these wonderful testaments to our Spirit-filled broadcast never cease. You can help ensure the future of our broadcast by naming Mater Dei Radio as a beneficiary in your will or other forms of estate planning. By leaving a legacy to Mater Dei Radio, you are supporting a gospel message of prayer and hope heard by thousands of listeners every day. Learn more about our estate planning options at materdeiradio.com.
It's Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken with their View from the Pew on Mater Dei Radio.
Many people embark on incredible adventures, and the way of the Camino is one of the ways people connect walking outdoors and to God. Here in the United States, there are ways to connect with God too, and Father John Neppel, well, he found God in the Rocky Mountains. It was an incredible 485-mile journey on foot through the Rocky Mountains from Denver to Durango. And in his new book, To Heights and Unto Depths, Letters from the Colorado Trail, Father John shares his journey and how it helped him grow closer to the Lord. Father John, thanks so much for being with me today.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Father John, what an incredible journey. How long did this take you to get all of that walking in?
It took us 30 days. So we hiked about 17 miles a day for just over a month.
You say us. Did you have a group of companions that joined you?
I did. I through hiked. So the through hike, it means kind of taking it in one go. And I did it with three guys who did the whole thing with me. And then we had groups of young guys that would come on the trail for about 4 days at a time. Different friends, priest friends, or friends in ministry would bring young high school, college age guys for a few days at a time. But four of us did the whole bit.
Father John, as I said in my introduction, many people are familiar with the Camino, the Way of St. Paul. And there are different versions of that, but all of it is rooted in his journey. And you have done the Camino. So looking at those two walks that you have done, which you said are approximately the same amount of time, how are they kind of similar in scope and understanding?
Well, I think there's a deep spiritual richness to the Camino de Santiago because of the tomb of St. James. And so you're going to a place of one of the most historically prominent and powerful pilgrimage routes, and you're following in the steps of pilgrims for centuries. So there's a real richness and depth to that. Caro Trail is very different. It was more of an adventure. It was more precarious. There was nothing out there, so we're camping every night. It's all backpacking, carrying our food, looking for water, which sometimes got very desperate. The rugged nature of the Rocky Mountains required us to ascend 90,000 feet in elevation and descend 90,000 feet as well. So it was a very mountainous terrain. Camino has its own challenges, certainly, but nothing on that scope. So it was kind of humanly and physically more demanding and spiritually really rich and beautiful, but not as grounded in tradition and history as the Camino.
Father John Neppel is joining us today. He has a new book that chronicles a journey that he took. The title is To Heights and Unto Depths, Letters from the Colorado Trail. It is available through Ignatius Press. Father John, look, for all of us in the Pacific Northwest, we are surrounded by just incredible beauty. How did you take into this walk and experience God every day, recognizing that his creation is nature's cathedral?
Great question. I think there's a lot of parallels between the Mountain West and then the Pacific Northwest. We have a shared kind of deep love by being immersed in such unbelievably beautiful creation. The challenge that we face, though, and I kind of recollect this in the book, when I was a young man, I was Catholic, but I didn't have faith, and I really actually kind of despised my Catholic upbringing. I was very secular in my mentality, so I didn't really have what I would call an operative Catholic worldview that helped me spiritually interpret my experiences in the backcountry. And so when I became a college chaplain at 27, I kind of set out to start helping young people form what I didn't have when I was younger, and I started to think more deeply about it. And a lot of that is recollected theologically and spiritually in the book that's now before you.
Father John, we all face obstacles in life, and especially when you go on a journey where it seems like this is going to be something that you're going to face daily, these obstacles. Were there times where you thought, this, I kind of maybe bit off a little bit more than I can chew right now? How did you persevere then and rely on God to help you take the next steps?
Oh, yeah, we definitely had moments where, like, well, we are in over our skis, as we say out here in Denver. It was the moments of pretty exceptional challenging. I think that one of the most interesting things about writing the book was recollecting all the experiences of the young men who joined us, because that brought a lot of wild variation to each day. But it challenged us physically, pushed us beyond our limits, and it opened us in a new way to the Lord, I think, to His graces. When we do hard things together, in the backcountry, it translates into a life of sacrifice and love through the God's grace, which is a really beautiful gift to receive.
Father, when people set out on a journey, we have kind of an expectation, and then we tend to put maybe parameters on ourselves, like, oh, this is what we're going to do, and I expect to enjoy it like this. But when we surrender our will to God, especially in something like the journey you took, was there a moment that stuck out in your mind that was just so beautiful and beyond what your expectations were on any particular morning or event that you knew God was there, just showing before you something greater than what you had expected?
We had some of the most challenging terrain is in the southwest of Colorado. It's called the San Juan Mountains, so named after St. John by the original Spanish explorers. And I find that terrain to be the most challenging and the most magnificent. And there's a very distinctive morning. We had a group that was really struggling, and we left this beautiful campsite at the foot of these mountains called the Trinity Peaks. So I already spoke of the Lord in a really deep way. And at that morning at sunrise, we're descending down into the town of Silverton. You could just feel the energy and the enthusiasm of men who had worked really hard through very challenging terrain for a few days. And that for me was one of those kind of high peak moments.
I would imagine, too, you would run across maybe a little wildlife along the way. What were some of those experiences?
Yeah, we ran into moose and bears, and we didn't see a lot of mountain goats, a lot of deer and elk. But what we're always nervous about running into is a mountain lion. Fortunately, we did not on that trip run into a mountain lion, because those guys are pretty scary.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. Make yourself as big as possible. That's what I've heard from a wildlife biologist or two that have come across those. Well, Father, thanks so much for joining us today. Do you have plans on a new trek and possibly a new book to chronicle it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have nothing in mind right now, but we'll see. We'll see what kind of the Lord inspires. I think one of the beautiful things about being on the trail is receiving things as gift. And so we don't want to, at least I don't want to grasp at the next thing. You know, I want to stay in the present. And if the Lord kind of brings about an opportunity, then we'll hopefully do it. Maybe in the Pacific Northwest. We'll see.
Oh, I understand that those Washington State enchantments, those are mountain ranges that are incredibly beautiful. Well, if you head out this way, we'd love to have you here at Mater Dei Radio. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks again. Great to be with you.
And again, that is Father John Neppel. His book is To Heights and Unto Depths, Letters from the Colorado Trail. It's got the foreword from Archbishop Charles Chaput, so please pick one up today. I will be sure to add a link that'll get you to Ignatius Press. You can purchase a copy for yourself, and you'll find that link on today's podcast at materdeiradio.com and on the Hail Mary Media app.
The Colorado Rocky Mountain High, I've seen it rain and fire. Softer than a lullaby, Rocky Mountain High, Colorado.
Scott, throughout our marriage, we have been in nature. We go on hikes. We try to take the kids out into the gorge. We do a lot of things. I find it beautiful, but I don't necessarily find it a spiritual experience. And I don't particularly like to get too uncomfortable when we're going out to do these things. So this is very special for you because you are very much doing kind of an outback tour alone by yourself and be with God in nature, kind of the ways that Jesus went into the nature or monks would go out into the wilderness in search of God.
Yeah, in fact, I was just sharing with a deacon colleague of mine what I'm planning on doing. And I said, you know, I think it's akin to what we read in the Desert Fathers. What is the value of going into wilderness? And throughout the Bible, we hear in the Old Testament about wilderness, and then we hear it in Christ's walk, that he goes into the wilderness. And the wilderness, we oftentimes think, I think, is just the wild, but it's the place that is unknown to us. And it's a place that we are called by God to enter into, to know more deeply who God is from the distractions that would otherwise keep us, I guess, insulated in many ways. And I think that that's the, you know, after anyone's career, they could look back and think, gosh, I wish there were things that I might have done to know God more, to spend more time in nature. Well, I don't think I'm going to miss that, because this is the opportunity that you've given me to do that very thing that I've desired to do, but in prudence, I've not done until this time. So, you know, when we wait for the season to come that will open up a door that we didn't imagine could be opened, that's exciting. That's like, it's something about it is reinvigorating to me that brings me to a youthful remembrance, if you will. So I'm excited about going on this trip. I can't imagine that Father wasn't excited and as well anxious as you prepare for something like this. I don't know what I'm going to do, who I'm going to meet. I just know where I'm kind of going. And in that kind of going into the wilderness to pray constantly, to take on what St. Paul reminds us that we should be praying constantly. Well, I'm going to do that in earnest with as little distraction and as much third person conversation I can have with myself to say, hey, unplug, buddy, back to God. And I think that will be for the first week, maybe week and a half, it will be that challenge. But after that, I think there's going to be a shift. And I look forward to that shift to then just enter into the daily miracles that God has in store for me to show his presence and love in my life that I can bring back and take to my ministry, to my marriage, and to the work that I'll be doing soon with Seton Catholic High School.
It was definitely not a moment where I said, here's my opportunity to get him out of the house and out from, you know, bothering me as much as he does since you've been retired. But I did think about how you are making this transition from your federal work to this new career teaching kids. And I hoped that you would be able to have a moment looking back at this retirement going, I left and I did this incredible thing. And it was maybe, hopefully, in my mind, a way for you to shift gears from that type of work into the next thing. I think the other thing, too, that I would say, and we had done this before when we went on a road trip with our children, that we set out throughout the whole thing to say, we are going to try to say yes to as many things as possible on this trip. And it was so simple as sometimes going, one of the kids said, there's a stand all along here. We keep running into them about fried artichokes. We should stop and try right. them. And we said, yes, absolutely. And the kids still to this day remember us just like, all right, let's stop and let's do this. And I would say that would be the same thing for you, that it is your hope to say yes to whatever it is that God places before you. You've got the map, you've got the idea, but you're letting God, we've talked about this previously, about Mary being your navigator. In this case, God's going to lead you along this journey.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we can look at a number of saints in our life, the most recent of which is St. John Paul II, who loved to be out in nature. There was an understanding that he could regain focus and center by being in nature, by being in God's creation. But I think he was inspired by some great saints like St. Francis, who he was taking the name after, the most recent pope who took the name after that. that Saint Francis recognized that there is something tremendous to learn in the created world that we oftentimes get, again, insulated from. So I, like you said just a moment ago, I think my in my mind, I'm trying to find an opening to shift gears, to slow down, to be aware. And I think one of my inspirations in the community of saints that I oftentimes turn to for intercession is Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. And she tried to understand who she is in the context of the great holy ones. She wanted to be a holy person, but she said, who am I? And then she looks into creation and she sees in a field the wildflowers, the little wildflowers. And she says, that's what I am. And transformative to the experience in such a way that she becomes a doctor of the church, teaching us the little ways. Mm-hmm. To live our love and our faith with Christ.
And of course, as you embark on your next adventure, kids are looking to get out of school right now. Well, you're going to be looking to go back to school and into the classroom and teach. And we all know so well that you can't teach what you don't have. And you, right. This is just, again, another way for you to grow in faith, to see the Lord differently and do this really on your own. So that way the conversation's not with, you know, me, you know, talking in your ear, telling you about how you should be driving and, you know, God talking to you in your ear, telling you, this is the deacon and this is the teacher that I want you to be. And we look forward to your adventure. It's just a few days away. And we're going to talk a whole lot more about it once you return. Scott, before we go today, will you end us in prayer?
Lord, we recognize that we have an order in our life that sometimes we lose sight of your order. And so this week, help us who are listening to set down our order, to set down our will in front of you, to be able to enter into the day that you have prepared for us, the week that you have prepared for us. And as we do that, may we become closer and closer to you and our faith as we come towards the end of the Easter season in preparation for the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. We ask all this in your holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And that is going to wrap it up for us this week. Please tune in next week as we share with you more stories about our faith, our family, and our view from the pew.
God bless and continue to have a wonderful Easter.
You've been listening to View from the Pew, a weekly look at faith and family life from a Catholic perspective with Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken. For more information on the Aikens and to listen to an archive of their previous shows, visit them online at materdeiradio.com/pew. View from the Pew is produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio in Portland, Oregon.